Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show with a friend, tagging a friend if you're watching this during the weekday, 12 p.m. We're streaming on the Cross Politic social media sites. If you're watching this on those channels, welcome. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for being here. We are approaching tomorrow 100 episodes. It's exciting. Can't believe we've done 100 episodes of How to Build a Tent. It's amazing. The show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. If you want to reach out to me, you can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matthowtobuildatent.com. I love hearing from you, answering your business questions, your career questions, any show topics you want me to explore. Feel free to reach out. You can go over to crosspolitic.com and become a member. If you become a member, you get a ton of great benefits. You are coming alongside of us, supporting us as we are proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. We're helping equip you to do the same. If you put HTBT in the memo field, when you subscribe for the first time, you'll get a free HTBT mug. It is awesome. It's great. It's in 15 ounces. It'll hold all the coffee that you need. It's a wonderful thing. The picture is in below. The picture is below. You can check it out. There's tons of other exclusive content. Great stuff to help you preach the gospel and be faithful into where God has called you in life. So I was at church yesterday, and I saw this piece of paper. It's cool. Amazon Smile. I didn't know Amazon was doing this, but your church can sign up and get a portion of the proceeds for eligible items from Amazon. So if you are working for a church or know that your church is trying to raise money, have them check out Amazon Smile. That might be an awesome thing just to get money. I mean, if you're buying products on Amazon already, you might as well have a percentage of it go to your church or your 501c3, whatever charity you want to support. Today, I want to talk about an article. It was really great. It's actually three videos we're going to watch about three different traits or habits that you can be doing that make your boss and your coworkers hate you. And I actually think they're pretty well done. It's pretty good advice. So we're gonna watch those and talk about it so that your boss won't hate you and your coworkers won't hate you. And you'll be loved and adored, you'll be promoted, and eventually you'll be CEO of the company and be super successful. That's the goal of the show. But before we do, I wanna tell you about our awesome sponsor, 24/7 QBO. When I started my first business where I had to use QuickBooks, I ended up at the end of the year in my tax accountant's office spending 2 days trying to reconcile all the mess I made. I thought I had it nailed. I got a B+ in my accounting class, my MBA. I figured out how to do a balance sheet, an income statement, cash flow statement. I thought I was good, but apparently QuickBooks and the real life software for accounting is nothing like what you learn in school. And I really was lost. I was trying to do too much. I was trying to use all the features and it was just getting in the way with each other. So I ended up spending too much time with my tax accountant. Don't let this happen to you. Don't waste time trying to figure out QuickBooks. Don't spend days of your life in your tax accountant's office when you could be in your business working, making money. Get 24/7 QBO white glove customer service. They will come alongside of you, support you, and help you with all your QuickBooks bookkeeping needs. So go check them out, 24/7 QBO. The link is in the show notes, so you don't have to do what I did and spend days and days in your accountant's office trying to figure out your tax situation. All right, so we're gonna watch some videos on traits that can get your boss to hate you and your coworkers to hate you, and then we're gonna discuss them. And they're pretty well done. I'm really excited about them. I'm not afraid to say it. Another way for you to get great advice, some business advice, are these by, I forgot what her name was. What is her name? Susie Welch. I thought she was a daughter. Oops. She's the wife of Jack Welch, who's the CEO of GM. He's a really popular guy, did a lot of great things in the GM business. So I think these are really worth seeing. So we're going to have three short clips talking about ways that your boss might hate you and your coworkers might hate you and what to do about it.
When people come to me with the sinking feeling they've fallen out of their boss's good graces, I ask them one question. Has your boss had to explain your behavior to anyone lately? If so, you've used up your boss's political capital. And that, I'm afraid, is the fastest way I know to make your boss dislike, resent, and eventually want to get rid of you. So, what's political capital? It's the goodwill your boss has stored up at the organization by working hard, making friends, doing favors, and delivering results. That goodwill is hugely valuable. It's like a war chest your boss can dip into to get things done with the higher-ups, like buying more time for a project or hiring extra people. But your boss's political capital is not a gold mine for you. Every time your boss has to explain your actions to her superiors, like you displaying a bad attitude or being late, or has to cover for one of your mistakes, you're borrowing money with a very high interest rate. Look, delivering great results goes a long way in an organization, and you may think that's all your boss cares about. But your boss is also managing his or her own career, and every time you ask them to spend their hard-earned political capital on your account, your successes get pushed back further and further in their mind's eye. And eventually, they disappear altogether. And so might you.
I think that is a really good point about political capital. You, as a report to your boss, your job is to give him or her as much political capital as possible. You don't want to take it away. And to remember that your boss is looking out for his career as well, just as much as you are. The more that you can help your boss in his career or her career, the more that you are going to help yourself with your career. You don't ever want to be in a situation where he or she has to spend time getting to smooth over, put out fires, however you want to say it, things that you have done. You want to put tokens into the political capital jar. You don't want to be taking them away from your boss. Also, know that you have political capital and that you would be wise if you are in a corporation or a small business, or maybe you are, it can even translate over to vendors or your, you know, business to business, that you have political capital and that you should be working to add as much political capital as you can, because there are going to be times where you need favors, where you're going to need help with things. And the more you have in that jar, the better off you're going to be, the more successful you're going to be when you need other people's help. And you should really just imagine like a piggy bank, that the more, every time that you do somebody a favor, every time you do some help somebody out, where you go above and beyond, you're putting coins in that piggy bank. And every time you fall short or you ask for a favor, you have to take them out. You never want to be out of money in that piggy bank jar. So I think that's a great video just to consider. One, your boss, don't let your boss, he or her, him or her, take coins out of their jar for you, but be putting coins in their piggy bank for them. And that is going to keep you around. That is going to make your boss want to promote you along the ride as they get promoted as well. And just putting yourself in other people's shoes will go a long way. And that kind of leads into our next video by Susie.
You have got to do email right. Emails are nothing less than written evidence of your organizational savvy. They can so easily come back to help you or haunt you in your career, and they will. Let's start with subject lines. Please make them mean something. Forgo question, connecting, and my least favorite, hi. Instead, respect your recipient by stating your explicit purpose and a sense of timing, with the likes of question about staffing, EOD response, please. Who's receiving the email? The obvious misstep here is to CC too many people or too few, and both are judgment errors that reflect poorly on you. You can CC higher ups in an obvious play to impress them, or you can CC anyone in an obvious play to cover your hindquarters. Both these behaviors are office politics, and they are lost on no one. Be thoughtful. Now, you may like to write off-the-cuff train-of-thought messages because it's fast and easy, but no one wants to receive them, okay? No one. So sorry for the bad news, but you have to edit your messages for clarity, succinctness, grammar, and last but not least, tone. It will take 5 minutes. Spend them. Finally, sign-off mistakes abound. There's the pompous use of initials, the generic use of best, and the absence of a sign-off entirely, which is just kind of rude. My advice is to customize your sign-off for each email. Thanks for giving this thought. Look forward to talking to you about this tomorrow. And speaking of email, if you have a question you'd like answered in these Get to Work videos, email us. And just this once, you can use the subject line, hi.
Now, if you have questions, you can email me. Just kidding. You can email them if you want. It'd be awesome if you got a response back from them as well. So there's a few thoughts to this. The first one is email lives forever. And they do a good point of this, is you want to look as professional as possible in your emails. This is so true. You want to look professional always in the business setting. Now, that's not to say you can't do jokes and you can't be likable and be serious all the time. Absolutely not. Part of being professional is being liked. But you need to remember that the emails last forever, and you want anybody to look at any email that you write in or out of context and think nothing but that you are professional. Don't ever talk bad about people. Don't have spelling errors. Don't have any grammatical errors. Make your emails look clean, succinct, not messy. You want an outsider who doesn't know anything about emails to be able to look at your emails and know what it's like to write professional emails. Remember, emails last forever. They get passed around. They get forwarded. They're never deleted forever. So you want to look as professional as possible. Always use grammar at the level of your company. Make sure that it fits in with where your company is at and the verbiage that they use. The next point is great too, is always put yourself in another person's shoes when you're writing an email. Take a step, take a second, and think, is this an email that I could read easily? If I'm busy, if I'm in a hurry, do I know where my action items are? Can I read this quickly and get through it and get to the main points? I love using bold, highlighting action items, calling out people that need to respond. These are all things that are going to help make it easier for somebody to read your emails and to respond if needed. And then the last thing I wanted to say about this, and this is a really good point, is don't be political in your emails. And that is different than do not be political. Be political. You want to further your career. You want to do things that are going to make you go up the food chain, but don't do it in emails. Be professional, do what's right, be on top of things, be professional, like I said. But then outside of the emails, that's where it is time to be political. And I'm not saying stabbing people in the back or, you know, doing a Greek tragedy or anything, but, you know, making the plays, talking to people, looking for your boss's boss in the hall and talking and try to weave in what you're doing, what you're working on. Get your boss's boss to know you. You don't need to blind CC them or CC them for no reason on emails. That's not the place to do it. It's to do it outside of that. So don't be political in your emails, but be political in your careers. Be tactical. Be thinking about how you can further yourself. Remember, we talked about before, volunteer for projects. Be willing to help other people in other departments so you get to know people. Those are all political moves that aren't shady. They're not backstabbing. They're positive things, but are going to help you be in a better position. All right, this last video.
I think we can all agree business jargon is pretty much meaningless. I mean, shifting paradigm, really? But there are four buzzwords you really need to strip from your vocabulary right now, because quite frankly, they don't just make you sound obtuse, they make you sound dishonest. Let's take this offline. No, don't say it. Everyone knows what it really means. We've reached an impasse and things are getting awkward, so I'm gonna have a private meeting with a smaller group of people later to get what I really want. Instead, see if you can push through the hard conversation you need to have and do it then and there online. Then there's empower and ownership, or worse yet, when they're used together, as in, I'm empowering you to take ownership of this project. The crime with these terms is their super high BS factor. Instead, say, I'm giving you the authority to run this project and I'm going to hold you accountable for the results. Then actually do that. But my least favorite buzzword is bandwidth, as in, that's a great idea, but we just don't have the bandwidth for it now. I'm sorry, bandwidth person, but I know you're using that word just to gloss over your real reason for saying no. Drop a truth bomb instead. That idea doesn't fit our strategy. We don't have the money, or our competitors already do that better than we do. Even when the truth hurts, everyone prefers it. Now, I could go on and on because, honestly, all buzzwords are bad. Fight like crazy to banish them from your vocabulary, and you might be surprised how truly empowered you become.
I absolutely love that video. There, and I am 100% on her side with the thought and the meaning behind it. Like, don't use those words to hide or to soften what you're trying to say. Be direct. Be truthful. Even though it hurts, that is what's going to be the best for your relationships, if you do it in a loving way, obviously, but also for the business. Now, there are words like bandwidth. Oh, I hate that one. It just makes me cringe. Especially when it's personal, like, oh, I just don't have the bandwidth to take on this project. Oh, I hate that so much. But I want to disagree just a little bit with what she was saying with off taking things offline. Now, if there isn't a disagreement or something that needs to be hashed out on a meeting, don't just say take it offline. You need to deal with it there because hopefully you've set up the meeting for the people that are important to that topic to be in the know and make the decision for. You don't want to take away. You're going to look bad if you try to take it away and go into a smaller group to get your way. But there are times, and I have been in these meetings, I'm sure a lot of you have as well, where you're in a broader meeting, a subpoint comes up that could be tackled, that doesn't need to be tackled with high-level people, and needs to be done at a lower level, you take those offline to not waste the time of your executives. And that happens a lot because there'll be questions where an executive asks a question, you don't really have a good answer, you don't have the data to support it, and you need to work with some other people that are on the call, just not wasting the time of the executive so you can get on with the meeting. Those are the times where it's okay to say things like, take it offline, or let's settle this. Not that you're going around your executives, but that you're going to come back to in the next meeting with the answer supported by data and research. So that is, I think, a time where it's okay to say things like take it offline. And another thing is, some of that jargon is just embedded in your company culture. Don't be scared to use the language of your company. That's how you communicate. Language is supposed to be something where you both understand and you use jargon that you guys can communicate exactly what you're thinking and being able to work together. So sometimes that jargon is just part of your company culture and it's okay to use it, even though just personally, I just sometimes hate some of the words, it's terrible. But just don't use bandwidth. That's the one that you should never use, bandwidth. Just say you don't have time, or it's like she said, it doesn't fit within the strategy, you don't have the budget, don't say bandwidth unless you're literally talking about bandwidth like on the internet. Okay, well, I hope those videos were helpful. You can check more of those out on CNBC. Hope you continue watching this show and that this, my commentary with the videos was really helpful to you. If you have any questions, comments, reach out to me, How to Build a Tent. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. Don't forget about the business plan contest. You have until March 31st to submit your business plan. Check out episode 90 to see the details of it, where you can win a swag bag full of HTB stuff, and you can also get a free interview on this show talking about your business plan or your business. And if you have any questions, email me, and we will talk to you next time. God bless.